Welcome to Her Leading Story, a podcast that will inspire you with stories from amazing female leaders and give you some ideas to help you design a life and a career that's perfect for you. It's totally doable, and the good news is that you'll have me and our community of leading women by your side every single step of the way. Let's get started. I'm your host, Julie Artis, and this is Her Leading Story. Welcome, welcome to this week's episode of Her Leading Story. I am really excited to bring you this episode because it's with Bree Luck, my incredible podcast producer. For those of you that don't know Bree, and I'm going to let her introduce herself in a minute, but she and I work behind the scenes every week to put together this podcast. She helps me with content ideation, with editing, with like show notes, like all of the things podcast. And it's been great having a partner to work on the podcast with. And last week we were working through some ideas for a solo episode. And one of the things that I talked about that I felt really resonated with a lot of my audience on social media was a reel I did a while ago about a client I have who feels uneasy and like she wants to hide when she's in situations with family and friends because her career has taken a very unconventional path. She is super creative. She has jumped from different job to different job. And she knows that what she's doing now and the decisions that she's made over the last 10 or 15 years are the exact right decisions for her. And at the same time, she feels deeply uncomfortable when she's with high-achieving former colleagues, high-achieving family members. And she kind of freezes and wants to not engage in the conversation. And maybe especially so in the US, because we're so focused on what people do as like a sort of a social thing to talk about at events. And so as Bree and I were talking about this, Bree was like, oh, well, I totally get how that feels. And I, you know, like this and this and this. And so I thought the more we kept talking, I was like, Bree, can I just interview you for the podcast? And she, luckily for all of us, agreed. So Bree, that is my lead in for you. And I will let you please introduce yourself and then we'll go from there.
Sure. So first of all, it's really fun to get to come on and be interviewed by you. And as I was thinking about this, I had my producer hat on and I thought, is this an interview or a live coaching session?
It could be whatever you want.
Or what? So I'm now a podcast producer. I started a company called Awkward Sage, which produces podcasts for coaches, healers, and educators. So we're focusing on personal development, professional development, and spiritual development. And Julie, it's such a joy to get to work with you every week because it's also tapping into topics that just are really interesting. Like we don't just stop with podcasting. We go deep. We talk about so many things. And I would say that that has been in many ways the trajectory of my whole career since I first started as an actor long, long ago. That what appealed to me about acting initially was, well, frankly, the community of it, really having a creative community, that feeling of connecting with other people, and also helping people feel less alone in the world. And also, getting really curious when you're telling stories, when you are being a generative creative, you're always trying to connect dots between other things, which means that you're always finding the dots to connect to.
Right.
So that's how I started my career, was as an actor when I was 15 years old. And was a professional actor and director for many, many years in theater, in film. I have a degree in drama therapy. I'm one of those people who has done a million different things by necessity, right? And also desire. But because I always wanted to be working somehow in my field, I also knew that I was going to need to have my fingers in a lot of pots. There wasn't sort of a natural progression for a creative career. And I think that's the case for many creative careers, like your client.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's interesting in that the way I was socialized, and I think the way most American families, with some exceptions, view this is we're raising our kids, we want them to be successful, and there are these pathways, let's just call them that, that are already set. So like, if you want to become a doctor, you have to go to college, to med school, you do a residency, and then you can be a doctor, right? If you want to be an accountant, go to accounting school, you get a degree, you have to be certified, then you have to do a couple years, I think, of an internship or something like that, and then you can be a CPA, right? And I, as a college professor, of course, see this and talk to parents about this all the time, because I'm a sociology professor. And, you know, parents will be like, well, what can my kid do with a sociology degree? And I'm like, anything, which is true. Like, it's like, what can you do with a liberal arts degree? Anything you want. And so what happens is, like, what I see with clients is one of two things, mm-hmm. or just even the people in my life, right? It's like, there's people that decide that they're going to follow one of these pathways. Like, I did that for grad school, PhD, professorship, right? And sometimes those people come to me because they feel they've climbed the ladder and they've gotten to their goal, and it's taken maybe more than a decade, and maybe another decade passes and they've gotten maybe some promotions and had a lot of work experience. And then all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute, this isn't really what I wanted. And so that's one kind of thing that happens. And when that happens, it's more about getting the courage to step away from the path that you were on and figuring out what you really would be more happy doing. Or is it that you need to shift your mindset or change your role slightly to make it work for you?
Right.
How can you make yourself happy? You know, it could be either. And then there's another handful of people that I talk to who, like you, have had this just incredibly interesting career going from thing to thing to thing. Or a friend of mine who knew she was going to be an artist from her 20s and just like freaking made it happen, right? But while she was making it happen, it was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And now she's like won all these awards and she's fabulous and everything. It's all great. Mm-hmm. And there were many, many years where she had to contend with things like, why don't you have health insurance? Are you sure you're taking care of yourself? Is this a losing battle? And so what this brings up for me, mm-hmm. as a coach, is how is it that we deal with comparison? Mm. And in particular, right, if you're on the more sort of you change and pivot a lot, or you're in a creative pathway of some sort and you're having to kind of make things up, or you're an entrepreneur, frankly, you have to, like, sometimes I feel like that's sort of outside of the norm. So it's like finding your own community, making sure you feel really solid in your choices, like really knowing who you are at the core. And if you're in the other, if you're really following a pathway and you've had your blinders on and you, for some reason or another, end up like swerving or taking another, then you also have to like figure out who you are, get really solid in that belief, know what you're doing, build up some confidence, and learn how to cope with social situations, with family members making comments about what the heck you're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kinds of conversations that I've had with several people over the last, I don't know, year or so. And as Bree and I were talking, she was relating to me that she's like, oh, I felt that way.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's how.
Yeah. So what I was talking to you about was actually last year, my older daughter was graduating from college and my younger daughter was graduating from high school. So we had a month of graduation events and my older daughter went to a pretty elite school in the Northeast. So there were many, many, many highly accomplished parents there. And when I had dropped my daughter off at college her freshman year, I was in a new position with a top-tier, incredible theater company. I was helping to create and implement theater education programs around the world with this very specialized approach to making theater with an artistic director I really, really admired. So freshman year when I was dropping her off and I was meeting many of these same parents who were all wanting to connect with other parents, when people would ask that question, what do you do?
Yeah, what would you say?
I would say, I am the director of this institute and I work with this artistic director, and I'm implementing programs. I truly started it the same week that my daughter went off to college. This was It was very easy for me to focus on being excited about stepping into a new position. I had been the artistic director of another theater company for some years before that. So I also had been working at the highest level at this one theater company. And people who know regional theaters know this company. It's a pretty unique kind of organization. And so I had a lot of pride about my accomplishments at that time. I was proud of what I had done. I was excited about where I was going. So I worked for the company in New York, the new company, for about a year before the pandemic hit. And then we realized that it was going to be untenable for me to continue to travel to New York during the pandemic wasn't going to work, right?
Yeah.
And I really thought, this is a great opportunity for me to move into a different field. So I started performance coaching, started doing some executive coaching because I had run a nonprofit theater company and was pretty well-versed in that area, and did a couple of pivots until I came around to podcast producing for Coaches and Healers. So for me, it felt like the most tumultuous time in my life, both on the career side and on the personal side, having my kids growing up, leaving the house, turning 50, hitting perimenopause, all kinds of things were going
on, things.
Right?
Yeah.
So cut to 4 years later, I'm now in the very earliest stages of starting this podcast production company, which is going great now, by the way. But at that point, I felt like, how am I going to tell people about this? And I felt so much anxiety about it, Julie, that I ended up in the bathroom at one of these events for 15 minutes talking to myself in the mirror. Really saying, you have got to pull yourself together. This narrative that you are creating in your head of, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm a failure, I'm like all of these things that I really thought that I had worked through so many times before were popping up in the face of, so what do you do?
Yeah.
And couple that with my husband is also, so we have two creatives. Well, now we have four creatives in the family, but my husband is also a creative. He's a very successful filmmaker. And so I was also having a little bit of when did I become the one who's not successful in this family? Oh. Like, this is the kind of internal dialogue yeah. that was coming up. Right. If I'm just being really honest with you.
No, I appreciate it.
And I knew that had to change because I knew that was only fear and anxiety yeah. speaking. So in that moment, I thought, what can you control right now? Like, it's going to be real hard to turn around those deep things. Those are going to require a little bit of coaching, a little bit of therapy, yeah. and probably a little bit of time to rework through some of these old, crusty beliefs, right?
Exactly.
But what I could control was steering the conversation to the things that always, no matter what I'm doing, going back to the beginning of our conversation, the things that have always lit me up, connecting with people, really seeing what makes people tick, mm-hmm. really feeling a sense of community and collection. So I thought, I need to focus my conversations on joining the people I'm talking to rather than pitching what I'm doing.
You need to be the director.
I needed to be the yeah. director. So I had a couple of weeks until my next kid graduated. And by the time I was going to those graduation parties, I had worked myself around to really steering the conversation to asking and then answering questions like, what are you excited about? What's lighting you up? What's keeping you awake at night? You know, those types of yeah. of questions that actually get more to who are you than what are you?
Yeah.
And that was, first of all, it's far more interesting and fun. But then it also gave me the time to work through some of those other issues so that now when people say, what do? I can say, I'm a podcast producer and be super excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's been a year in the making too, right? Because this was last spring.
Right.
When you were right. yeah. sort of this, your business was just at the very beginning of formation. You were starting to move in that direction. You were in the messy middle. And then you had to like be on stage essentially.
Yes. With seasoned performers, with people who yes. are really used to making their pitches every day about what they do.
Right.
And I say that, and I don't actually think that it's true. I think that many of us feel a sense of anxiety or just shyness, right? We just don't always want to talk about our work with other people. And even if we love what we do, if we've mm-hmm. had a really crappy week, sometimes it's really hard to talk about your yeah. what you do, or you just don't want to.
I know.
So I think that that's where those other strategies can come in handy, no matter what, no matter where you are in
yeah.
your sort of career trajectory.
I think that's a really good point, though, to remember that this is something that, whether or not people are aware of it, they probably struggle with, like, the presentation of self in a group to people in a way that makes them feel good about themselves or feel confident. What can they reveal? What can they not reveal? How are we going to put our best face forward, so to speak? And I really like the theater metaphor that you're weaving in here because it works, right? Because just in the same way that you were sort of saying, I'm going to be the director, right? Instead of part of the play. I mean, there's actually, let's go back to sociology.
Sure.
There's a lot of work in sociology about the presentation of self and how it is that we can present ourselves in different ways in different situations. And that those presentations of self are like enactments of an identity. And there's even work on like, how do we enact our gender, right? How do we enact our mothering, right? What are the outward signs that you give that you are a good mother? What are the outward signs you're giving that you're male or female? And like, the whole world's a stage, right? I mean, that's the thing. And so I think one other thing to remember for people is, yes, you can be the director and have questions you'd rather talk about. And also, even people with very fancy titles, you don't know what's going on. Like, everybody has their own issues. We are all humans humaning. And there may be like lots of people who are running to the bathroom and freaking out. And you just don't know. And I think we often make the assumption, I know I do, oh my God, these people have their shit together. And I really do not. You know, and use that as a tool to bludgeon myself with for not measuring up. And A, it's not helpful to me. So I think one of the things that I really try to work on with comparison is, instead of comparing myself to someone else, I try to compare myself to, like, am I doing things differently than before? Am I happier? Am I healthier? Why or why not? What season am I in? Me personally, my own lane. And that can be really hard.
That can be really hard, but also it can be really helpful, right?
Yeah.
If you're really using yourself, if you're basically trying to, now I'll move to sort of a running metaphor, right? You're trying to PR, right?
Yeah.
To do your personal record. You're trying to right. do what you can do at every, and we can't PR every time, right? Like,
yeah.
You can't PR in every race.
Yeah.
But what you can do, and this has made a huge difference for me and in my whole happiness, I would say right now, so I'm 50, I am at the happiest I've ever been in my career. I'm not making the most money.
Right.
I'm not getting the most visibility. I'm working probably harder than ever before. I'm regularly pulling 80-hour work weeks, which my husband is going to kill me for. But every day, I'm able to make something. And
yeah.
for me, that's really important, to know
yeah.
that I'm creating something every day that I feel good about. Maybe it doesn't
yeah.
get put out every day, but I'm working on it every day.
Yeah.
And so that has been very helpful. I just went to an event. Actually, I had a very awkward moment at this event. I went to this event and I run into this gentleman that I haven't seen in a while. We knew each other professionally. He was a director at my theater company and has moved on. I've moved on. So it was our first time seeing each other in a while.
Yeah.
And I'm working on a new podcast. And so there was a lot of talk at this party about this new podcast that I'm working on because it's funny and I've been doing a lot of promotions around it and people have been submitting content for this podcast called Well, That Was Awkward. And it's with a friend of mine who is a comedian. I am not a comedian. I am the straight guy. She is the comedian. But we are taking people's awkward moments and parsing them and really looking at the deep humanity of awkward moments, right?
Yeah.
So I'm telling him about this, knowing that he's got to be excited about it because he's an incredibly awkward person. And I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. And he said, oh, that sounds really interesting. You're working with Mendy? Oh my gosh, she is amazing. She is so brilliant. She's a genius, in fact. And he goes on for 2.5 minutes about how genius my partner, who is working with me on this project, is. And it was so, it was awkward. He is right. First of all, let me just say he is absolutely right. She is a comic genius. But still, he was having a conversation with me and it was sort of
yeah.
like the feeling, truly the affect that he had there was, wow, you are really lucky to be able to work with her.
Right.
How'd you manage that? Right? And after about, well, after 2 minutes and 35 seconds of this, his wife, who is standing right there, puts her hand on his back, bless her, and says, "I think Bree's a genius too." Here's the thing. That would have thrown me into a tailspin before, right? If I were looking at it by comparison, if I were using that comparison model that I had had the year before, I probably would have gone into the hole of, he doesn't think I'm talented. He doesn't think I'm capable. He doesn't think I'm smart, right? Because he was waxing on about my creative colleague. And this time, what I thought was, first of all, I'm so happy that he sees how brilliant my colleague is and that he's excited about this project. Second of all, how funny is this awkward moment that I now get to talk about?
Right.
And third, it really let me stop and reflect and think about all of the talented people that I get to work with every day, including yourself.
Yeah.
And how I can feel really proud of this career path that I have chosen and cultivated consistently over my entire adult lifetime that allows me to create and deepen relationships with some of the most incredibly talented, wonderful, good people I've ever met. And that feels good.
Yeah.
Right? So you can see that difference in a year.
Yeah. And it's really about, like, it's like an inside job, right? You have to really have had that shift on the inside of really believing in yourself and what you're doing and what you're creating. And that makes the biggest difference, right? I mean, you've also been like hustling your butt off and like, you know, getting everybody together, but it's happening also, right? So I know you feel good about that. I think sometimes what happens is people have great ideas and then don't act on them. You have to like sort of have the action and the belief and have them like sort of building on each other for the inside work to really, really feel solid.
Absolutely.
Right?
We need to take action, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's small action.
Totally.
And the question is, can we, especially when we are starting something new that takes a while to come together and also is in that place of tender little babiness, right? You don't want to take your newborn to
share it with the world.
Right. You don't want to take a newborn to a concert inside, right? Like, you're not going to do that. Right. Maybe a tiny little cafe, right? Maybe something with a small group of people. You don't want to take it to the masses, right?
Yeah.
So how can you feel confident about the baby steps? How can we really own and take pride in that act of tending to something in its nascent stages, where you're not going to be able to talk about it to everybody yet?
That's right.
Right. And maybe that gets back to what you were talking about before, which in my world, we would call it persona. Right? How we're presenting ourselves.
Yeah.
How are we presenting ourselves? What is that persona? Coming back to the good mother persona might be not so much a literal mother, right? But might be the person who's taking care of a new idea.
Right.
The person who is tending to her own needs, actually. In a moment of transition.
Yeah. Yeah. And really being gentle and compassionate with yourself in a season of basically having a newborn path, identity. I won't even say career. I'll just say, because it could be anything that you're passionate about what you like than what you're doing, and you're hoping to build something, but it's that little. It's really about having a few trusted people for support and building something small bit by bit by bit. And then, you know, 6 months in, it becomes a thing, because the more you take little steps, the more they compound over time, right? And then suddenly the ball's rolling and Bree is changing her like page on Facebook from her name to Awkward Sage Media. And I'm like, what is happening with Bree? This was before we were working together. And then, you know, like, I'm like, then she's having a podcast boot camp. And I'm like, interesting. And then when I thought about rebooting the podcast and knew that I didn't want to do it by myself again, because I did the first, 10 episodes all by myself, I was like, hi, Bree.
And I'm so glad you were.
I know. You know, this topic came out of a conversation with a client and with friends. And also, as I was sort of digging into this comparison thing, I mean, I feel like everybody I know has heard the phrase, comparison is the thief of joy, which is a Brené Brown quote. And so I was looking, because I was working on social media stuff. This was last fall when I probably did this reel. And I was like, oh, I should find that quote and I should quote it. Well, I found a newer Brené Brown quote that really got my head spinning, right? Which is that comparison makes us crazy, because there's comparison on this side and then competition on the other. So the thing about the way it works as an emotion or as whatever is that you are trying to be like everyone else, but also better than them, right? So you're both simultaneously like trying to fit in and stand out. And so you're not comparing yourself, for instance, to people who like you're not sort of at their same sort of level. So I'll hear this often when it's like, well, I know I could have, like, that person has achieved A, B, C, X, Y, and Z, and I used to work with them and I was just as smart as them. I know, I feel the same way. Like, I went to grad school with lots of people that got really fancy jobs after they earned their PhDs. And I got a great job at a good match for me, but it was not at a, like, you know, an Ivy League. And it's like, but we were kind of all the same in grad school. Like, we were mostly all the same amount of smart, you know? So I think seeing that, like, comparison and competition are mutually exclusive, but they're not. So when we compare ourselves with others, Brené Brown talks about how we are ranking ourselves around a collection of like things. Mm-hmm. So, like, you are at a graduation with the parents of smart kids who graduated with your daughter, interesting kids, right? And so you are in a collection of like things and you are all alike, and then and everybody else is all alike, and then the game is standing out. Mm. And so that's where the comparison and competition come in. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, I think for me, I was like, oh, that's why comparison is so difficult. It's because it also touches into this competition thing. And when I was doing a little bit of, you know, Brené Brown research on this, it turns out that when she's digging into this emotion of comparison, she groups it with other emotions like envy, jealousy, and resentment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, all of those are difficult feelings to wrestle with. They all come up in these kinds of comparison situations and emerge when we're comparing ourselves to others. So it can be really triggering and paralyzing if you're not prepared to deal with it. And I think what's amazing about your story is that you had these two similar experiences kind of back to back, and you were able to prep for the second one after the first, right? Mm-hmm. So if you were going to give any of my clients who are resonating with this some advice about going to a barbecue this summer, going to a graduation party, going to a family reunion, and they're in the messy middle of some sort of work or life transition. And they have a history of wanting to go hide in the bathroom. What kind of advice would you give them?
Oh, the first bit of advice is probably a little less obvious. So I'm going to just go down a little path for a second, which is to know that anytime we are starting something new, anytime, we are going back to zero in so many ways.
Yeah.
I think you probably see this a lot with your work. People come to you and want a whole friggin' career change.
Mm-hmm.
But every time we do that, we think it's going to fix so many problems. And yet we find ourselves in that vulnerable beginner position again. I have done this so many times. And I think that if you are in that particular position, just knowing that, recognizing that, and giving yourself some grace around that, that that is part of the process, that is the price of starting something new, starting over, taking a completely different path, there is a price to pay. And for me, that is the biggest one. It's also a big gift, right? Because there's a lot of opportunity for growth and excitement and curiosity and all of those things that totally fill me. So,
yeah.
But to know that that is the price, I think can be very helpful to just prepare us.
Yeah. Yeah. So beginner's mind, like the idea of like beginner's mind, and also the idea of like, and especially if you think about it mid-career or people who are our age, 40s, 50s, right? It's like you spent a career or a life becoming competent at something. And then when you're starting all over again, it's like when I was learning how to do marketing for my business, I was like, I'm a good writer, but there was a lot of pieces of it that it has been a process of years to get comfortable with putting myself out there. And I was definitely a beginner. Yeah. I still feel like I'm a beginner in many ways, right?
Well, and I think beginner's mind is one thing, right? Like that is absolutely a part of it. The part that we don't always acknowledge about beginner's mind is that there's also beginner's humility, right? That there is the humiliation of being a 50-year-old beginner is real.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so just to know that if you feel that, it's a natural part of that process. And we don't have to go into a place of defending our position. We can just acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And that was something that I sort of recognized was how defensive. So when I get defensive, I actually get self-deprecating, right?
So for example, you would be like,
I'm starting something new. I'm, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
I'm not going anywhere.
You know? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out. But, you know, I mean, I had another career, but, totally dorky.
Yeah.
That's fine too. I mean, self-deprecation can be useful and helpful and funny, but to recognize, to know when you're doing it, to just sort of notice the tendencies. Or are you really like saying, well, I had this career and I used to do this and I was this and I, you know, are you puffing up? Are you trying to prove something there?
Yeah.
Both are natural, right? Like we're only human.
Right, right.
But I think just recognizing it and being able to say, whoa, I see that you are really having some vulnerability around being a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself a little grace here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just own it. And instead of doing this whole like tap dancing around this, maybe you just say, I'm starting something new.
Yeah.
And There's a big growth edge, and I'm right in the thick of it, but I'm very excited about where it's going. Right? Like that.
Yeah.
Then also takes it off of accomplishment and takes it more into this is where I am right now. And then you can flip it back on the other person, which is my number two.
That's your second piece of advice.
Which is to engage your curiosity, to flip it so that you're in control of the narrative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what often happens too is that we're worried about being judged. So we are giving them the power because we are giving the person that we're talking to the power in the situation when we are worrying about how they are perceiving us. So stop that.
Ask them a question.
And maybe it's, I'm starting something new. Have you started something new? Have you ever had that feeling? What's exciting you? I'm really excited about this. What's exciting you right now? What's inspiring you right now? And, you know, that can go a long way and can actually get you into a deeper conversation. And frankly, almost every time that I've used this in big social situations, I've had it help me later. I mean, not every person, right? But I would say at any gathering, there's at least one person that years later I've been able to bring up something that has happened there and we can look at the growth or have a deeper connection, right? Things always lead to things. So it gives you more dots to connect going back to that. So that's number two. Number three is because sometimes that can be hard too, right? Mm-hmm. Number three is to actually think about things yourself that are exciting, that are not just your career.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And honestly, if you're really stressed about going to a social event, going to a barbecue, listen to a podcast before you go, take some notes on it, and bring it up.
Or talk about, like, I don't know, pickleball or whatever new hobby you've picked up. Or I always ask people about travel. That's always interesting to me. I love this idea of like not being passive in the conversation and giving the other person all the power. Right. And you can do that by like what you were just saying in asking them like what they are excited about and things like that. And you can also prepare yourself to come with something interesting to talk about that you just read, heard, experienced. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then when you tease out little things about what you're up to, it sounds more confident. It's also a little more mysterious, which can be helpful. Yeah. A little mystery goes a long way. And
yeah,
it's just good storytelling. So those are my three pieces of advice.
I love that. What I love about these is they're super actionable. We're heading into a super social season because one thing that we haven't said is that these things, they come up in groups of people when we are interacting with people and especially people that we may not know very well. It can also, though, come up with family who have their own sort of history with you. And
that's a whole other podcast episode.
But I think, you know, the nature of comparison is that it is like in a social setting, right, of some sort, and maybe with people that you don't see on a day-to-day basis, and then you're kind of catching up, and then all of a sudden the what are you doing comes up, or what deals have you closed, or I don't even know, like what all that stuff, what articles have you published recently in my field, right? And so those are all such good advice heading into this season of social interaction that we're going to have. Thankfully that summer is here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to listen to the episode again myself to just make sure that I practice what we're preaching here.
Well, you're going to have to do that anyway to edit it. I also wanted to tell people that we'll put a few things in the show notes. Like if you are interested, if you have an awkward story that you would like to share.
I'm right? all for it.
Yes, we will make sure that's in the show notes. We will make sure that if you have a podcast and you want to reach out to Bree about any questions you have or how Awkward Sage Network works, we'll make sure that's in there. I think that's in every show note anyway, but...
It is for you. Thank you for doing that. And I am starting a new PodCamp this summer. So for people who are interested in doing, in creating a new podcast, it's a really fun class. And I do weekly meetings too. So I can do some handholding with that if people are interested in starting a podcast. But the real thing is to go to awkwardsagemedia.com. to check out all the podcasts in the network, including this one.
And, so many good ones.
Yeah. And then you'll be prepped for your next event.
That's true. Perfect. Bree, thank you so much for agreeing on the fly to come and talk about comparison and awkwardness. It's always so much fun to talk
about. Oh, I love talking with you too. And thank you for all that you're doing to help people really advance in their careers in a way that feels good to them. Really nice.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Her Leading Story. If you love this episode, please help me reach more women by leaving a review wherever you're listening. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next week.
This has been an Awkward Sage production.